Big God, big plans. How many were here Sunday night? Hear what Tim opened up with. I prayed for confirmation weeks before he came. He opened up with something that you've heard from this pulpit many times. You were born for such a time as this. No accident that you're here in 2018. If God needed you in 1930, you'd have been in 1930. If he needed you in the 17th century, you'd been in the 17th century and you'd be in a history book somewhere. But you're not. And we're about to make history. You can either sit on the side or be in the parade. It's up to you. Sit on the side and watch the parade go by. You'll pray to be double jointed after that so you can kick your own butt. We've got to reach down inside of us and grab love. Intense, deep, extreme love for God. So that he's the only thing we see. God's been stirring us lately, and there's been a great temptation to fall back into mediocrity. Don't let it happen. Press in with all you got. Reach down inside yourself. God is free, but he'll cost you everything. He's free. His love is free. His salvation is free. But it'll cost you everything to grab it and to hold on to it and to go deeper. I was praying today and God said, you don't even know me yet. God said, you don't even know me. He's so deep. He's God. We'll spend eternity getting to know him. And he responds to love. He responds to our searching, our deep searching of our heart for him. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 29 says, but from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. So there's a cry from God. He's telegraphing his wisdom to us. He's saying, if you'll seek me with all your heart, if you'll love me with all your heart, and nothing comes before me, nothing is before me. Not the love of a wife, not the love of a job, not the love of a career, not the love of food, not the love of anything that would come between me. If I'm number one, you'll find me. I'll pour out my spirit on your family, on your church, on your community, if I'm number one, I'll do everything. Loving God completely, entirely, with the love that he gave us, reckless love, deep, abiding, serious, pressing in love. I watched his hearts were stirred a few weeks ago. Everybody, fantastic. Oh, the presence of the Lord. But that's just a touch of what he wants to do. Just a touch. Off the charts love. Love that is a choice because of a command. Not a command because of a choice. He's waiting for us to willingly love him. And that means willingly laying down our life. Not because we have to. This is not a law. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. It's not a law that I love him. It's because of his love. Now I make it a command for me. I said, I'm going to love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, with all my mind. I'm going to do it because he gave me the choice to do it. I'm free to make that choice. Seeking God is not an option if we want all of him. How many want all of God? We got to seek him with all our heart. The casual observer will miss him. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. If you have your Bibles, it's a good thing to practice being in your Bible, Deuteronomy 6, Genesis, Exodus, Deuteronomy. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Here's what the Message Bible says. It says, love God, your God, with your whole heart. Love Him with all that's in you. Love Him with all you've got. With everything, passionately. The first thing you say in the morning, the last thing you say at night, God, what can I do for you? How can I serve you? I love you, God. Whatever you want, whatever you desire, whatever I have is yours. That's the extreme love that God wants. Notice it says, you shall love. That shall is, in the original language, it's something that God built in us when we were born again. It's something that drives us, and ignoring it into mediocrity is a grave error on our part. It's a grave error to say, God, I've got enough of you. I want to pursue something else. God, I want you to bless me. Give me goosebumps. Give me something that I can use. No, God says, you lay down your life for me and press into me, and I'll show you the kind of love that you never experienced before. You shall, it's the natural reaction to a supernatural command. He couldn't tell a sinner to love with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind. We didn't even know who God was at that time. But because we're His children, He says, you shall. It's a natural thing for a Christian to love the Lord with all his heart, soul, strength, and mind. And when we camp at the creek of mediocrity, we miss the river of grace and love that God has for us. He says, love me with all your heart, the very essence of who we are, the heart, all of our being. A few verses. David understood the love of God. Psalm 9, verse 1, he said, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. Psalm 111 and verse 1, praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Psalm 138, verse 1, I will praise you with my whole heart before the gods. I will sing praises to you. Something inside, passionately reaching out to God, not willing to settle for anything less than all of Him, because He wants all of us. Not just a casual God bless my day. Not just a casual God bless the food and let us eat. It's a pressing in. It's a pressing into God at all times, in all places, everywhere. He can't be number one at 8 o'clock in the morning and be down the list at 5 in the afternoon. He has to be one. He says, love me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. So he says, all your soul, the entire individual, all of us, loving Him. Psalm 25 and verse 1, the psalmist says, David says, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Psalm 34, 2, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. The first thing off our lips, no matter what's going on, is, God, I love you, I seek you, I want you. What's your desire? What's your purpose? What's your passion, God, in my life? Let all that are mature hear this word tonight. God wants to use us in a powerful way. The greatest days, I believe Apostle Tim, when he said, the greatest day of the church is ahead. I believe it with all my heart. The greatest days are just ahead, but it's going to take everything we have. Come on, somebody. It's going to take everything. We're going to have to suit up. We're going to have to gird up the loins of our mind. We're going to have to press in. We're going to have to get all of God. Psalm 35 and verse 9, and my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in His salvation. And then in Psalm 42 and other Psalms, I think 42, 43, and 44, it's mentioned a couple of times. And here's what David said. He says, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. Praising God no matter what the situation, The enemy of greatness and passion and the outpouring of God's Spirit is not sin, it's mediocrity. It's the blasé feeling of, I've just got enough of God, that's all I need. No, God says, you'll never have enough of me. Press into me, press into me, press into me, get to know me. The psalmist says, why are you cast down, O my soul? He speaks to himself. We need to command ourselves to stay on fire and passionate for God. I often wonder when Paul and Silas were in prison. I often wonder, it says that they were singing hymns. I wonder how they were singing. I wonder if Paul said to Silas, let's sing that, you know. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. Man, they weren't singing that way. They were going, oh God of our fathers, oh God, come, Lord, fill this place. Come on, they were passionately seeking God. With all my heart, with all my soul, with all my might, with all my strength. Strength in the original language means strength, you're right. Might, force, abundance. Joshua chapter 22 and verse 5, but take careful heed. Listen to this. If you don't hear anything tonight, listen to Joshua 22:5. Take careful heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. That's never changed. That command has never changed. The Message Bible says this, only this, be vigilant in keeping the commandment and the revelation that Moses, the servant of God, laid on you. Love God your God. Walk in all his ways. Do what he's commanded. Embrace him. Serve him with everything you are and have. I don't want to hold anything back from God. I don't want to reserve anything away from God and say, this is much as yours and I want the rest for myself. It's all or nothing with God. It always has been that way. First Samuel chapter 12 and verse 24, David said, only fear the Lord. I think it was Samuel, I'm sorry. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. Who else would put up with you? I was praying today and God said, I put up with you all these years. Press into me. You don't know me yet. I want to show you things you've never seen before. Come on, somebody. Press into God, press into God, press into God. Just when we think we know him, he pulls a fast one on us. Just when we think we know how he's going to respond, he just blows our mind. I got something new for you. Can you imagine? Well, God, I've been walking with you for 35 years. What do you mean you got something new? Come on, somebody. Got your Bibles open there? Look at a period. You got a period there on one of your sentences? Look at that period. Take a good look at it. How big is it? How tiny is tiny? How tiny is the period on your sentence there? Somebody venture a guess? Engineer back there? What do you think? Metric man. Let's ask metric man. Huh? 7/10 of a millimeter. Now let's take that dot. Let's take that dot and compare it with the whole entire universe. That's how much you know about God. That's how much you know about God. He's beyond knowing. He's beyond knowing. Beyond understanding.
His ways are fathomless. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. The little dot on that page is all we know of God. I said, there's so much more. In fact, there's so much more. I brought you into eternity so you could spend the rest of eternity knowing who I am. He deserves our love. All of our love. There's no one compares to Him. No one. 1 Samuel 12:24, only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. For consider what great things He has done for you. And then Jesus forgetting in Matthew chapter 22, Jesus forgetting Deuteronomy, He misquoted Deuteronomy. Can you imagine? Matthew 22:37, He misquoted Deuteronomy. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Not strength. Mind. I don't know about you, but when they were passing out brains, I thought they said trains. And I said, give me a big slow one. I'm limited. I'm limited. But you know what God promised me? Come on, church. You know what promise God promised me? I have the mind of Christ. Amen. I have the mind of Christ. God would never be, listen to me. Listen to me. God would never, Jesus would never be able to say this to an unbeliever. Never be able to say love with all your mind. And He did it on purpose. He didn't misquote Deuteronomy. He was saying, I've got something for you. You've got my mind. And I said, love me, love God with all your mind. The mind I gave you was to love me. And if we'll focus on that, He'll take care of everything else. He'll take care of the backslider. He'll take care of cancer. He'll take care of all that. He made provision for that at the cross. All He wants is our love and our devotion. That's all He wants. And it's not something magic that we just go and say, dispense your love to me. Here's my love. Dispense your love. It's an ongoing passion that God deeply engraves in us. And to the extent that we remain mediocre in anything that we do, in mediocrity, it becomes religion. And God hates religion. How many understand God hates religion? He hates the standing up and the genuflecting and the thing. That's not what He's looking for. Come on, somebody. He's looking for passion. He's looking for love. Thou shalt love the Lord your God. Not making us do anything. He's given us a choice. If it were a command, it would be law. And we'd be judged by the law. It wasn't even the law when it was the law. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Commandments. It wasn't a law. He was saying, love me. I'll love you. You love me. Press into me. Get to know me. That's going to be a lifetime thing. You can't ever put it on pause. You can't ever put me anywhere but number one. I don't fit anywhere in your life but number one. I don't fit as number two. I don't do well being back there somewhere. Take care of everything else and I get the leftovers. I don't want leftovers. I want all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind. I'll take care of everything else. And you know as well as you're sitting there, I'm telling the truth. Because when you've done that, He took care of everything else. It's not just period. It's not just little times. It's not just during revival. We are so event-oriented. Man, God comes and visits New Life, and we come for a few meetings, and God just personifies and pours out. And then we fall back. We fall back into let's have the routine. Let's pray real quick so I can get some of those carrots out on the table before they leave. Come on, somebody. Pressing into God. Pressing into God. They make more carrots at Kroger. Come on, somebody. We've got to press in, folks. Reach down inside of you. God sent me here as God sent you here. We're here for a purpose. He put us together so we'd be a danger to the darkness. A danger to the darkness. A danger to the darkness. Not just somebody sitting by and letting things happen the way they are. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of letting things happen. Watching people die. Watching people hurt. Watching families broken. We've got to stop it. Sometime, somewhere, somebody's going to stop and stand and say, I'm done with it.
Amen.
That's the personification of love. Everything Jesus did was motivated by love. But he said, this is it. I draw the line. It's finished. And to the extent that we've been beat up and taken advantage of, it's because we've landed in the land of mediocrity. But in the deep, abiding love of Christ is the protection and the love and the power and the anointing and the healing of Jesus. It's there in the deep parts, in the deep water, where there is no bottom. Word of the Lord the other day through Pastor Brad is we're ankle deep. We enjoyed ankle deep. And we had enough, so we stepped out. God says, man, I want you to come where you can't touch bottom. Where people are healed. Brandon felt the deep where there is no bottom. I want him to give his testimony soon. He told me the other day, he came to church. Is it all right if I? I don't care if it's all right. If you get mad at me, that's all right. He said he was headed for church and he was going, just wait for a little bit. I'll be right with you. But he came in here, God knocked it out of him. Knocked the. You know what out of him. Bam! Gone. And 6 or 7 days later, he comes back, not even that. 4 or 5 days later, God says, there's something else in there. You're going to get out. Bam! The deep things of God. The deep things of God. The deep things of God. We want to see that commonplace in the church. When we come in here, we want to see power. We want to see anointing. So it spills over in our life. And listen, everywhere we go, there should be signs, wonders, and miracles. That's what God is setting us up for. And if He doesn't, if we don't, He's got a nice little chair for us to sit on and watch the parade go by. Hey, look what's happening over there. Praise God. Now, I don't know about you. Come on. If you're looking for somebody to sit with you alongside a parade route, you got the wrong guy. I want to be the drum majorette, man. Attack hell. Attack hell. Hell's had enough of time. Hell's had 15 minutes of fame. It ain't happening no more. Well, get angry at the right things. Be passionate about the right things. Oh, God, reach down inside of us and shake us, Lord. Oh, God, shake us. Shake us awake, God. Shake us awake, God. God, shake us awake, God. Lord, the world needs us. The world needs us, our fire. The Lord needs us, God. You're not going to use a plant. You're not going to use an idol. You're not going to use the air. You're going to use your people. Use your people, Lord. Not a building. Not a denomination, not a religion. You use people. Use us, oh God. We're candidates, God. Take new life and shake us to our core. Each and every one that comes here, God. Make us uncomfortable. Whoever said that you would be comfortable? Whoever said that, God? You never said we'd be comfortable. Never said that. Turn to Philippians with me, and then I'll close, and I'll let you go home. If you could sleep tonight, more power to you. Philippians chapter 1. Now, you need to know before I read this, this was just for Philippi. It wasn't for us. It's not for Rochester. This is just for Philippi. This was Philippians. See, Philippians. See? So that's just, we don't have to worry too much about it. It's for another group of people, but we're in the chairs now and the parade's going by. See? Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you, verse 27, or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind. Love the Lord your heart, God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you, Philippians. Everybody, turn to somebody and say, he's talking to the Philippians. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Man, I'm glad it's for the Philippians. Wait, I'm supposed to be living in luxury. I'm supposed to have everything I need. Everything I want. Just that God's my, the golden butler. God, come and make my way straight. Make my path straight. Make me happy. God, make me happy. That's the American way. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me. And now here is in me. I started to pray that prayer today and it was hard. I was out back here walking. I started to pray that prayer. God, grant me suffering for you. And I almost rebuked myself. Because we in America haven't been taught that. Sleepless nights. Mealless prayers. Come on, somebody. We haven't been taught that. Just come to church, do your thing for 2 hours, and then go home and do your thing for 166. Come back next week. Come on, somebody. Just read a testimony from Nigeria. Nigeria is now the number one nation for persecution in the world. 238 people lost their lives one night. They came in with machetes, and the man that was writing the article lost his wife and 3 kids. Talked about his love and passion for Christ. Come on, somebody. Lost his wife and 3 young children. I'm going on with Christ. I'm gathering the church. Please pray for us. How many think when he wakes up tomorrow morning, what's the first thing going to be on his mind? Not going to be Dunkin' Donuts. And we need to reach down inside, folks. I don't know how else to say it. I'm sorry if I'm seeming overdramatic. I haven't even started drama. The world is in a collision with destiny. And the destiny, I'm afraid, is the judgment and the ire and the fire of God. If they don't turn around, the fire of God. The only thing that stands between them and destruction is you and I, filled with the Holy Spirit. Come on. The knowledge of the glory of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. You're His glory. You're His glory. Not going to be by objects or by statements or by denominations. Or by DVDs. It's going to be us. Amen? Amen. Come on, somebody. Because in the end, somebody's got to touch somebody. Father, thank you for the ultimate gift of your Son. Lord, we don't even know how deeply you love us, God. We don't even have any idea how you emptied heaven. You bankrupted heaven to send Jesus to save wretches like us. Lord, we were done. We were gone. We were separate from you, but you came and rescued us. You laid aside everything to reach us, God. Lord, and you have that same love for those that are in this world. I believe, I pray with Pastor Tim, Lord, that Lord, the greatest days for the church are just ahead. The greatest days of revival are just ahead. But it's going to cost us everything, God. This freedom that you gave us is going to cost us everything. Father, envelop us in you. God, give us great joy to do your will. Whatever that may be, Father, we certainly are not praying for destruction and demolition of this nation. We're praying for a resurgence and a revival. But during that time, there's going to be a lot of upheaval. Father, help us to stay fixed on you. Stay between the ditches, Lord. Stand in your mercy and your grace and be filled with your Spirit. Lord, teach us to love you first in everything that we do. God, we're open to you. Take us back to the learning curve again. Father, I thank you for new life. Lord, I thank you for this beacon on a hill. Lord, that we would continue to grow together, grow like-minded, one accord, one mind in doing your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.